Good evening, sisters, and thank you, Sister Rosalind, for hosting. Bow with me, sisters. Most loving and kind Savior, as I approach your holy throne of grace, I give thanks to you, Father, for allowing us to see another day. And Father, I thank you for all your many and precious gifts, especially your Son, Jesus, who suffered and died, that we would all have a right to eternal life. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to please forgive me of all my sins, that my prayer will not be hindered in any way. I ask, Father God, that you bless every home that is represented on the call tonight and bless them with all that they stand in need of. Father, I'm praying for mental health, mental well-being, and mental clarity. Asking you, Father God, to give our dear sister Cheryl a remembrance of all the things that she has said it, and that as she presents her lesson, that we will be hearers and doers of what she says and of your holy and divine word. May we do what pleases you, Father. And may we also remember that you're in control no matter how things look at this time. Father God, we know that you are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings and Creator of all things. You are Almighty Healer, Provider, and Protector. And we thank you, Father God. Help us as your daughters to keep the faith and to be thankful in all things. Father, I ask that you guide our leaders and direct them and help them to make the right decision. And may they come to know you before it's too late. Father, I ask that you protect us from the new COVID virus and for all of those who have it now, that they will get well soon. Praying for Sister Bridges and praying for Sister Elizabeth Miller Francis and all who are sick right now, Father, we ask that it be your will that you would restore them to a portion of health. Asking, Father God, that you bless our children and the teachers as they get ready to return to school soon. Asking that you protect them, Father God, and help the children to focus on their studies. Asking, Father God, that you bless all who are bereaved, that you give them comfort and peace as only you can. And Father, for all who are traveling, we ask them that you grant traveling mercy and grace. Father, we also ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew our strength and help us to remain faithful unto death. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we adore you. This is my prayer. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Sister Lisa McIntyre. We appreciate you. Our next item on the agenda is our prison ministry, Sick and Shut-In Salute. It will be done by Sister Dorothy Rozier.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for hosting on tonight, Sister Teresa. And good evening, sisters. It is indeed my great pleasure to present the Prison Sick and Shut-In Ministry Salute on tonight. The Prison Sick and Shut-In Ministry falls under the umbrella of the Lady Prayer Warriors Benevolence Mission, and it consists of two teams. First, we have the Prison Ministry Pen Pal Team, which seeks to correspond with and encourage men and women who are incarcerated. Our aim and goal is to share the gospel and pray for the inmates and their families. We welcome their Bible questions and encourage them to continue, and encourage them to continue to read and study the scriptures. We do have one inmate who loves to share his poems with us, one of which I would like to read right now. It's a short one, and it's called Look for the Good. It's better by far to look for the good than to grumble, complain, and be sad. It's more uplifting to think of happier times than to dwell on the bad and feel mad. For an optimistic view lifts the soul, where hope and faith abide. Look for the good, your cup will be full, and angels will walk by your side. It's easier to forgive than to hold a grudge, and to offer a word of kindness is fun. So put away that frown, pull out a smile, the rain will give way to the sun. It's better by far to look for the good and pay no attention to gossip and hate. For someday, you'll find that he's smiling at you as you enter the heavenly gate. So, sisters, if you know of any inmates who may want to correspond with the Lady Prayer Warriors, please submit their information to our team leader, Sister Jan Goolsby. The other team under this ministry is the Sick and Shut-In Card Team, where we send cards and notes and texts and other encouraging, and make encouraging phone calls to those that we know of who are sick or homebound, lonely, or those who could just use a word of cheer. So if you know of anyone who needs encouragement, friend, family member, church member, neighbor, anyone, please just let us know. So far this month, the team has mailed 50 cards, made 24 encouraging calls, and sent 129 encouraging text messages. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The prison, sick, and shut-in team is a wonderful way to acknowledge and encourage others and let them know that someone cares. So it's at this time that we would like to invite you to become a member of this awesome ministry and assist us in encouraging others while we bring glory to God. Thank you so much, sisters.
Thank you, Sister Dorothy Rozier. A wonderful salute for our prison ministry and sick and shut-in ministry. Thank you so much. Great job. Next, we will have our scripture reading by Sister Brenda Mason. Are you on the line, Sister Mason? I don't see your name.
Sister Lisa is going to step in for her.
Thank you. Thank you. Sister Lisa, at this time, please.
Good evening again, sisters. I will be reading from you two scriptures for tonight, and I will be reading the NIV version. First scripture is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may it be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And my second scripture is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless us and have a May the Lord be with us, and may we be hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for boldly reading God's word, Sister Lisa. We will now have our song praise by Sister LaDonna Miller.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I awesome wonder, consider the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the thunder rolling, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou'rt! How great thou'rt! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! And when I think that God his son not sparing sent him to die. I sin can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sins. Then sees my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou, how great thou. Then sees my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humbled adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sees my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sister LaDonna, thank you so much. How great thou art. Gorgeous singing. Thank you so much. We will now have introduction of our speaker by Sister Adrienne Jameson.
Good evening, sisters. It is my honor to introduce our speaker for tonight. Sister Cheryl D. Anderson hails from Fort Worth, Texas. Her parents were Henry Lee Anderson and Catherine Anderson Walker. Both are deceased. She became an official member of the Lake Como Church of Christ in August of 1972 after returning home from the National Youth Conference held in Detroit, Michigan. Her ministers were Dr. David C. Benford, Jr., now deceased, and Assistant Minister Brother Jack Evans, Jr. There she served as youth and young adult Sunday school teacher, youth counselor, youth choral director, and wrote and directed many plays, which consisted of senior saints, various aged adults, and children, to help contribute to the cost of sending the youth to the National Youth Conference. She now attends the West Vicary Church of Christ, and her minister is Brother Freddie Bringham. There, she is the Lady Bible Class teacher and serves in the Benevolence Ministry. She is also a choral director of the Richmond Avenue Church of Christ Choral Ensemble Serenity since 1979, where she produced, wrote, arranged, and recorded their CD, Tis So Sweet. Cheryl is the author of the booklet, Breast Cancer, A Christian Woman's Perspective, Why Not You? And a book of plays and short stories entitled, Poetically Motions and My Movements. She is now working on a volume of books entitled, Preparing Ourselves for the Kingdom, Church of Christ Women's Ministry, with the focus on God has never tried to tell you anything. She is one of the choral directors for the Crusade for Christ 2 years ago and provided PA for the outdoor events there. She is a Christian women's counselor, motivational speaker, mentor, instrumentalist, and composer. She is proud to be a member of Lady Prayer Warriors. She is a member of the Welcome Team, the Health Team, and the Life Streams and Happenings Team. She is the leader of ESAF, Every Sister Accounted For Mentoring Program, and one of the leaders of the Lady Prayer Warriors Crisis Counseling Team. One of her favorite scriptures is Isaiah 55:8-9. I now present to you our dear sister, Cheryl B. Anderson.
Thank you so much. First of all, I'd like to say good evening to our LPW family, as well as our honored guest. We're so glad to have you. And to our guests, we'd just like to say again, every Friday night at this same time, same number and code, we gather together to hear a word from God. And every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, same phone number and same access code, we come together to render prayers for one another, and we just invite you to come and join us at that time. I'd like to also say thank you to our administrators for allowing me to be a part of the speaking team. And I thank you so much for allowing me to speak this evening. And last but not least, I would like to thank our program participants. You all have done an outstanding job. I'm so thankful, and I appreciate you so much. Starting with our host, Sister Rosalind T. Body, our administrative assistant, our opening prayer by Sister Lisa McIntyre, our prison ministry salute done by Sister Dorothy Rozier, our scripture reading by Sister Lisa McIntyre, that beautiful song selection by Sister LaDonna Miller, our introduction of speaker by Sister Adrian Jameson, and our closing prayer will be led by Sister Elizabeth Miller Francis. At this time, I'd like to just share our topic with you. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes before I get into my testimony and my lesson. Our topic for the month of July is When It Rains, It Pours. And my subtopic is, But God, Always God. When it rains, it pours. But God, and always God. Before I get deep into my testimony and my lesson, I want to say something to us. You know, it is so important that we be more and more transparent, Titus 2 sisters in Christ. We have so many people leaving the church. We have so many people who won't come because of their various struggles and trials and sin. We have to understand that the Word of God never changes, but people change in different times. We have to meet them where they are with God's Word. We have to be open and transparent and share things about ourselves and our lives to help them share things about theirs. We have to be in a position to make them feel as though they can come to us and talk with us. The Lady Prayer Warriors are really getting to have preparing for our 24-hour prayer-thon. And in our classes, we're told, no matter what they say, administer to them. Don't act like you're surprised, shocked, or anything else. Administer to them. Because we may save someone's life. We may save someone's soul if we allow ourselves to be open to help them. Things that I learned when I was 12 years old, kids now have learned that when they're 5 years old. It's so important that we be transparent and say the hard things when they are necessary and say the happier things when they're necessary. Tonight I'm going to be sharing a few of the rainy days of my life with you. I'm going to be very transparent and forthcoming. And I'm going to say right now, if there are any children in the room, I suggest that this testimony will not be appropriate for them to hear. This one is for mature audiences only. If there are any children in the room, I suggest that this testimony will not be appropriate for them to hear. This one is for mature audiences only. I this time have used for the first time the NIV version of the Bible, which will be followed scriptures right after my testimony. I pray that y'all will take it in the spirit it's given. Sometimes raw and compassionate testimonies may strengthen someone who needs it in some way or another. We never know what someone may be going through or have gone through. We are blessed to have women's ministry so that we can talk about it and discuss life situations that transpire in our lives while relying on the Word of God and sharing with one another. There are some things in the Bible that the Lord wants the brothers to work out amongst themselves. And there are some things that God wants to work out as ties to women, with from our children until adulthood. It's necessary if we want to bring people back to Christ or lead people to Christ. I'm going to share some things with you, like I said before, may be difficult to listen to, but we need to start listening to things that are difficult so we can hear things that are difficult. In 1972, as Sister Adrienne had mentioned, it was a memorable year in my life in more ways than one that I shall never forget. Many wonderful experiences will forever remain with me in my memories, and some not so memorable that I wish that I could have forgotten. I had attended the National Youth Conference. I was 12 years old in Detroit, Michigan. We had the opportunity to stay downtown in the Hilton Inn, and every day we would journey to the college for our sessions. We stayed very close to Motown and toured it in various places, big events, and we even went to Canada. That was my first experience ever leaving the country. And it wasn't even 30 minutes away. And it was absolutely beautiful. The bands of Count Basie and Billy Preston stayed there also on the next floor. It was a very exciting time for us as children. We had the opportunity for a bus ride to see Aretha Franklin's father's home, and we went to wonderful amusement parks. I was raised up in the church. And when we came home from the conference, some of us were baptized the following Sunday. That was the happiest, or one of the happiest days of my life. I knew that I was ready. And my parents and grandparents were so proud of us. But I was so glad to officially be a new babe in Christ. Many years ago, my grandmother moved from East Texas after my grandfather had passed away that decided to live with us when I was quite young. I love my grandmother, and I believe that I love her just as much as I love my mom. And those of you who know me know that I truly love my mom. We shared a room together because I always wanted to be near her. She taught me so many things, especially about the Lord, the family, and music. One of her sisters lived in Dallas, Texas, and she passed away shortly before we attended the conference. It hurt my grandmother so much. Ironically, my grandmother passed away within weeks after my baptism. That devastated me greatly. I didn't know how to digest it at all. And school was about to start shortly. My mother had a business and wanted to know who I wanted to stay with me for a few days so that I wouldn't be at home alone. My brother Alicia was going to go over to my cousin's house on the next street. So I asked my mom to ask my three cousins who were sisters to stay with me. My other brothers and sisters were in college or they were already gone from home. My very dear cousins, three cousins, meant a lot to me. They were very, very dear to me. My uncle was their stepfather who was raising them along with their mother. And their ages were 14, 16, and 18. They too had older siblings. I adored my cousins. I adored my uncle and their mom. I was grieving so hard over the loss of my grandmother, I didn't know how to deal with it, but it gave me comfort in knowing that I would be spending quality time with people who I cared about, and I knew without a doubt that they cared about me. They oftentimes would attend worship services with us from time to time. But before all of that transpired, my mom approached me a little bit before the conferences with that mother-daughter talk. Y'all know the one. She taught me about then the birds and the bees. She had also purchased for me a volume of books for girls explaining puberty and went over it with me several times, or more than several times. She also had purchased feminine products and put them in the bathroom so that they would be available for me when that time came, because I had begun already developing little breasts and I was having these little premenstrual situations. I heard everything that my mom had said about being pubescent, but in actuality, my grandmother was all that I focused on in my heart or cared about at that time. And I also know that my mom and my families were hurting and struggling also with her loss. My cousins came over, and that day I really wasn't feeling very well at all. But still, I was so glad to see them. I was beginning to have those premenstrual symptoms. My little breasts, for some reason, were extremely tender as they touched my T-shirt. It was quite painful. But I did not tell my mom. And my stomach was hurting me. I felt that before my mom ever left the house. But you see, I was in denial. In actuality, I was actually miserable. My cousins and I were sitting in the backyard on my swing set talking. I felt sort of funny and was in so much pain, so I went inside and went to the bathroom. I had felt like throwing up. There I realized that I was trying to or about to start my very first period. Another first for me. I saw a little blood in the toilet and a little on the underwear. It frightened me. But I had forgotten for a moment that my cousins were even outside because I was so wrapped up in seeing what I really didn't want to see. But when I thought about it, I didn't want them to know. I knew what to do, but I was just crying, feeling that my entire world at this point was upside down. Eventually, my oldest cousin came in and knocked on the bathroom door. She said that she came to check on me because I'd been gone for quite some time. and I had panicked when I heard her knocking. I was speechless and couldn't move, still sitting there on the toilet. She told me that whatever was wrong, let her in and allow her to help me. She talked to me outside of that door for a very long while and asked me if I were crying. And when she found out that I was, she then insisted that I open the door. I think that she thought that I was mourning my grandmother. I was mourning my grandmother, and I was so sick. I didn't open the door at first because of embarrassment, but I knew that she cared about me. I trusted her. I wasn't fully dressed yet. I had my shorts still in my hand and just had my panties on and my t-shirt. She grabbed me and held me, asking, "What is it? What is it? What's wrong?" I told her as I cried harder and harder. She appeared to be very concerned. She held me, trying to console me, talking to me, telling me not to worry. Everything's going to be all right. My grandmother was going to be okay. The period was going to be okay. It was the first time since my grandmother passed away that I truly let go. I cried with all in me over the loss of my grandmother. I couldn't do that in front of anyone else because I knew they were hurting too. I cried because I was in great pain and suffering. I cried because of understanding that this period thing wasn't going away. I cried for my soul's sake. I cried because my heart was totally broken. As she continued talking and consoling me and holding me, after a long while, I stopped crying from exhaustion. My head was lying on her shoulder as she continued consoling me. There was silence, absolute silence. Then after a moment or two, it seemed to me that her consoling was beginning to turn into something differently. And I prayed within me that I was wrong. I prayed that I was wrong. She started holding me a little tighter, a little closer, and her hand was moving around my back. I had remembered what my mom taught me about: if something doesn't feel right. And then my cousin kissed me on the neck. Was my worst nightmare coming true? It wasn't that she kissed me like someone concerned. It was different. Here it was, I had poured out my soul to someone who I truly looked up to and loved dearly. It appeared to me that she was trying to or about to possibly hurt me in some way or another. If ever a time my heart was broken into bits and pieces, Lord have mercy. That was it, because she seemed very different suddenly. I started trying to get away from her slowly, and the tussling escalated. I was 12 years old, tired from crying, from the hardest cry that I'd ever released in my entire life, and hurting physically and emotionally exhausted. We tussled for a while. I kept wondering where my other two cousins were, if they would only come in. I had to believe that they would save me, or she would do the right thing and change her mind by letting me go. But she did. She backed me against the wall, and in my efforts to get out of the room, she pushed me. My bedroom was the next room over, right by the bathroom. And she pushed me again. I was trying to get away from her, but I was so physically weak, so sore, so tired, so disappointed. She pushed me into the bed, and I fought her with all of my might. which seemed to have aroused her even more. And she raped and raped and raped and raped me for I don't know how long. If you can think of it, she did that to me. I had no fight left. I stopped fighting a losing battle and just stared at the ceiling, calling on the Lord as she continued. She became more and more aggressive. And in the middle of pleasuring herself while raping me, she took my virginity. I didn't even know then what taking your virginity even meant at that time. I hadn't read that chapter in my books yet. There are no words to describe that pain, none. But when I felt something pop, I tried screaming, but I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the energy left, and all of her weight was on me. I couldn't win. I had nothing left. I was less than 5 feet tall at 12 years old. She was 18. She was a treat. When she finally let me go, she told me that I couldn't tell anyone. And she told me that she loved me. I was too weak to throw up. She told me that she loved me. And if that was love, I would hate to experience hate. Then she proceeded to tell me that nobody would believe me. And if they did, someone was going to lose their lives behind it and asked me, could I live with that? Was it worth telling that somebody in my family might get hurt, killed, or go to prison because of what she did to me because I told it? And I kept it to myself. The period then started for real. She took the sheets off of the bed and she told me to shower. I finally were able to get up and I went and sat in the tub running water. I was in another place, in another world. I couldn't believe what had just happened. When my mom came home, I was still in that tub, just letting the water run. She met my mom at the door and told her that I had started my period. My mom came immediately into the bathroom to administer to me. I was sitting in that tub and I just started crying again, just crying and crying, and I was trying to wash away the filth and the memories. Later, I was beginning to turn red, and later, I turned purple. My mom confronted me, and later she asked me a multitude of questions. I believe that she felt some kind of way, but I kept telling her, no, nothing happened. I assured her that it wasn't anything, it was just this period, and me crying over my grandmother. Her life may have depended upon me lying. I had lost my precious grandmother. And now someone who I love and trusted not only raped me, but put me as a child in an adult's position to make an adult decision, knowing that someone on both sides of my family may have gotten fatally hurt or injured if this act had gotten out to the family. And I know that to be true. I couldn't fathom the thought of anyone in my family dying on my behalf. I felt like I must really have been unimportant. Like I stated, my mom came into the bathroom and she administered to me. My sisters, that was the very last time in my life and in my mom's life that she saw me naked ever. The last time in my life and in her life until she left this world that she ever saw me naked. I laid around all weekend in pain from the front and from behind. My mother doctored on me by giving me pain meds, and she gave me a cold pack. She didn't know it was so much more than a menstrual cycle. She didn't know. She never knew. I often wondered why my cousins didn't come in and save me. And then I thought about it. Maybe she was doing the same things to them that she was doing to me, and they knew not to come in. School started a few weeks later. I was out of it a lot for a while. More than several years later, a great uncle on my dad's side, who was wife of a Christian and he was not, came over often to go hunting and fishing with my dad and grandfather. My mother had led my dad and his entire siblings and parents to Christ, and a few others in his family. The congregation that I'm a co-director of now was one of my dad's brothers who was a minister of that congregation until he passed away. My grandfather's brothers and sisters were Baptists. My great uncle stopped by one day stating that he was looking for my dad, and it was obvious that his camper wasn't here. He began to stop by frequently to leave messages for my dad. I love him, my great aunt, and their children. In fact, next door, his grandson is the one who helps us, or who helps me now, so much here at this house. He stopped by and said his regular stuff, and I told him the same information. But the next time, he had something differently to say to me. He knocked on the door, and when I answered, he looked me up and down, smiling at me, and said, You know what? You sure are pretty. Now, he was old as Methuselah. He said, you know, you are not really related to me. You know that, don't you? You belong to some other family. I sure would like to be with you. That was unbelievable to me coming from him. It broke my heart to hear someone who I looked up to once again disregarding who I am and our family. But God, this time, I was older and much more mature than when I was 12 years old. I closed the door in his face, and I locked it. I immediately told my parents as soon as they returned home. My dad sat down and cried a river of tears because my uncle was one of my dad's favorite uncles. My mom was livid, and she wanted to physically hurt him. It took everything my dad had to keep her going down to his house. My dad told his father about it, and my grandfather and my dad went over to his house and talked with my great uncle. Afterwards, my granddad approached me and apologized for what his brother had said to me. It didn't hurt me the most that he said how he thought I looked and what he wanted to do. It hurt me that he said that I wasn't really related. That resounded in my mind and in my heart over and over again because my parents were my parents and no one could tell me differently. My great uncle never said anything out of the way to me again, nor ever stopped by unless my dad's camper was present. My cousin who raped me came over to our house again only twice. I saw her totally alone at the washateria just about 4 years ago. She stared at me in the face motionless and said nothing. By that time, she had lost a sister, two brothers, and a son who we loved dearly. They never stayed at our house alone or spent any more nights here. I did tell my mom that I didn't want them to stay with me anymore alone if she wasn't present. I was telling her that I felt uncomfortable because they didn't get along. I lied. I had to tell her something without telling her the truth. Just one more lie for the road. Trust me when I say they were never alone at our house with me again. My cousin, in fact, who raped me, came over twice, but I never saw her up close, only at family gatherings far away.
Oh, hold on.
I had never forgot what my great uncle told me. The part that hurt me the most was my dad's mom did not believe me. And it took a couple of years for her to love me again. I had other experiences in life, but you know what? God saw me through. Recently, you all know I lost my sister, my mom, my stepsister, two cousins, two aunts, three cousins, and three friends. Somehow, people will ask me, how do you manage? We had missed too many weeks without attending funerals, some every Saturday. It isn't easy. When it rains, it pours. But God, always God. But God, always God. My parents provided a wonderful life for us. Yet I saw much heartache and I saw much pain. But I made a conscious decision that I would go to college and learn how to appropriately help women and girls and women who needed an ear to listen. and as a Titus II Christian, a woman to be there to administer to my sisters. And made it in my mind that forevermore I will administer to my sisters. And so God takes me home. Everyone doesn't know that God is always there. We have to have faith that even through our rain and our storms, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We cannot be in denial that rain doesn't and shouldn't enter into the lives of Christians, because it does. Rain, however, flowing is always a gross experience, no matter what. Rain is a reminder that we must emulate the walk of Christ and still have faith, still have love, still have hope, still have joy. We can accomplish that through faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, as I get near, coming near to my conclusion, it says, cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. Nothing is too big or too powerful for God. Isaiah 43:2 states, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames of life will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 41:10 states, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And my favorite scripture that I use even now, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, Psalms 121. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Philippians 4:9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, sisters, no matter whatsoever we may go through, and we will go through things no matter how devastating and horrific it may seem to be or is, God will still be with us even in death, because he is still on the throne. He did not promise us that we would not experience hard times, challenges, death, grief, hurts, pains, losses. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That was his promise, and we know that he is incapable of lying. He also provided for us growth opportunity in every difficult experience of life. If we will trust in him and allow the Holy Spirit to reign in our bodies, our souls, and in our minds. In the last 10 weeks, when I feel at times that I have lost everyone that means everything to me, I have to encourage myself, even and especially when there is absolutely no one around when my moments occur. Or too late at night to call somebody. Or too early in the morning to call somebody. God is still forever present. And he is an on-time God, available to hear me and to hear you at all times. I know for a fact I haven't lost God. And there is absolutely no one greater in the lives of Christians than he. I also know that you, my LPW family, and others are here for me, and I for you, and for we for one another. I love you, and I know that we don't have to be biological kin, but spiritually kin, praise God, which is most important. Know that our lessons, sisters, or testimonies can be blessings in others' lives. Our experiences and being transparent may lead someone to Christ or back to the fold. Rain can be very unfortunate, uncomfortable, demeaning, devastating. However, rain has significance in our lives. For some, rain can cause us to draw closer to God, a faith builder. Rain can transform our lives and encourage others. Rain can be a reminder of how blessed we have been and how blessed we are. Rain can cause us to be proactive in administering to others trapped in the midst of storms. I have had much rain in my life. Rapes, breast cancer, kidney cancer, masses on my throat, over 101 surgeries and procedures combined. Yet, I have also been extremely blessed to witness much sunshine. The sunshine has outweighed the rain. How? I am still here. And I'm still sharing my testimonies, and I'm still trying to help somebody else. Just remember this as I close. There is no storm too great for God. There is nothing that we have gone through or will go through compared to the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. That in itself is a reminder when we're going through storms and licking our wounds, visualize the wounds of the life of Christ until he, as a sacrificial lamb, gave his all and his last breath to give us the right to eternal life. Let us continue administering to one another and others. God will certainly be a shoulder for us to carry on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Thank you so much for your message on tonight. We will now have our closing prayer by Sister Elizabeth Miller Francis.
Thank you so much, Sister Cheryl, for that awesome message and that personal sharing. I'm sure some of us can relate and encourage each other to be strong during these times. Let's go to God in prayer. Most righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, I just want to give you thanks for this opportunity. I just want to ask for your forgiveness of sin and that nothing will hinder this prayer. Father God, you are the great and awesome God. And whatever we go through in life, you always there, God, to cushion the hurt and the pain or to provide a way out, Lord, so that we, Lord, can be able to stand up and be strong. Father God, sometimes life gives us lime, but we can use it, God, to make lemonade. And sometimes, Lord, it depends on how we look at it, God, not trusting you and giving in to whatever pain or hurt that we are feeling. And we forget, God, that you're a loving God and that you are there to comfort us in our time of need. Father, I thank you so much for Sister Cheryl being so open with us tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that you just help us as we go through different things in life that we'll be able to let it go. Because, Lord, I know sometimes we go through different things and we do not let it go and we have these things in our hearts and it affects us in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for these different testimonies that helps us to look at things in a spiritual way. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be on this call tonight and to be able to call out to you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you be with each and every one of our sisters, those who are hurting at this time, those who are going through painful experiences. Father, for those who have family members who died, I pray, dear Lord, that you strengthen them at this time. Father, we know that death is sure, and I pray, dear Lord, that even though we know that death is sure, it is so hard for us as human beings, God, to accept what happened. But I pray, dear Lord, that you help us to get our courage from you and our strength from you so that we, Lord, will be able to carry on. Father God, I pray for my own family as we make preparation to bury both my nephew and my cousin. I pray, dear Lord, that you strengthen them. And I pray for all the other persons, God, who have been in your family, that you strengthen them and that you help them, Lord, to cope with us through tonight. Help us, God, to go to our bed with you in our hearts and help us to put whatever it is that Sister Cheryl had taught us tonight into practice and that we, Lord, will think of things in a pure and clean way and not look at it in a negative way. because sometimes, Lord, because we look at things in a negative way, we do not get past our past, and we end up carrying these burdens with us for the rest of our lives. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Continue to heal my body. Continue to help my God to be well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Sister Elizabeth, a beautiful, powerful prayer on our behalf, and we want to thank you for it. All right, we are at